This hour of the Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans, fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We're chasing Stephen Hunter. Best-selling author. We'll see if we can get him on, talk about his new book. But before that, you know, we take a look at iconic radio personalities. And you just heard Casey Kasem dead at the age of 82. And if you Google Casey Kasem, this was a long battle between Casey's wife and his children going back and forth concerning who would get to rule over his vast empire. And how many of us growing up would listen to that America's Top 40? In fact, it's kind of eerie that Casey, I believe, still owns the program or sold it, and they still air the Top 40 of the 1980s week after week. And now that Casey, God rest his soul, is dead, how in the world are you going to keep going with that? But remember just how big this forum, this format, was and still could be again.
Success doesn't happen in a vacuum. You're only as good as the people you work with and the people you work for. I've been lucky. I've worked for and with the very best.
There you have it, Casey Kasem. And I don't know if you could pick up that hum, but if you can, I apologize for that. It's not your AM radio. It's coming from our East German computers here at 580KIDO. So here you have Casey Kasem, dead at the age of 82, and apparently his daughter, Carrie Kasem, won some type of judgment that allowed her to take her father off the feeding tubes, to take her father off the machines that were keeping him alive. But think about maybe as a kid growing up, you had to do some work. Maybe you're like our friend Gene from CUNA working right now, listening to us. Or whether it was, you know, chopping down trees, hauling away brush, digging a ditch. Everything was okay as long as you had America's Top 40 on. And think about this as Casey moves on. Do we really have that today? Well, we have personalities, I suppose, with broader appeal on Facebook and Twitter and me. I mean, it's kind of like that old show Solid Gold. Did you ever watch Solid Gold on Saturday nights? And they'd have the dancers and stuff. And you think about what the show was. It was a bunch of folks lip-syncing tunes that may or may not have been hits and scantily clad women and men dancing to them. Oh, how we yearn for simpler times.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
You know, how many of us in life think to ourselves, oh my goodness, if we could only come up with a catchphrase, an original catchphrase, like Casey Kasem. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. And whether it was the Backstreet Boys, whether it was the Hustle, whether it was the hair bands, Casey was always there, and that shows you the magic of radio personalities that I believe is lost today on the current crop of people in radio. Yes, we all have our favorites, but to know the history of the game, to understand what it's like, and Casey, you know, spun the records, an incredibly talented guy, but to do what we do each and every day is amazing. If you have a, you know, remember the long distance dedication? Remember that? And some of them would just break your heart. And maybe I just like the old fuddy-duddies. Today, it just seems like, okay, commercial. Okay, commercial. da-da-da-da-da, here's a music I can't understand.
You're listening to a countdown of the most popular songs in America. My name's Casey Kasem, and the countdown rolls on.
Number 9.
There you have it. The countdown rolls on without our great friend Casey Kasem. He will be missed, and we do miss you, Casey. There will never be another person. And, you had the imitators, Shadow Stevenson, Rick Dees, all these other people, but they were all number two to Casey Kasem. So there you have our touchy-feely story of the day. God rest your soul, Casey. We will sure miss you. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, Friday we had two big stories emerging. Number one was the situation in Iraq going downhill. Number two was the growing state convention controversy in Moscow, where you had the grassroots folks going toe-to-toe with the establishment folks, all in an effort to get rid of Chairman Barry Peterson, all in an effort to do what they did in Ada County, which is essentially reestablish the establishment. That's really what's happening. And then you had the chairman of the state GOP convention, Congressman Raul Labrador, who now is running for majority leader of the House. And I was amazed, and Tea Party Bob got mad at me on Saturday, but what else is new? At 580KIDO, the reaction of the Labrador pick. And you go in two camps, and really it's more like an 80 to 90% split on this. You have people that look at this and go, well, he's standing up for the conservatives. Well, he's standing up for Idaho. Well, God bless Raul for doing this. This is good. We know he says he can win. He says he's not going to come in second place. He's going to do this. And, you know, listening to the flowery conversations on television, to even Popke on Politics, which has gone soft on Congressman Labrador, I was amazed at the lack of objectivity. Now, I think this is a great move for the congressman. He's going to put himself in the national spotlight, but does the national spotlight really help you? Does it really help me? And then you have Mike Simpson, who a lot of people may or may not like, working for the INL, quietly tolling an appropriations committee, now chairman of the subcommittee. You know, who's doing the most work? But back to this issue, then you have the 10% camp, and maybe even it's the 5%, or maybe it's the Kevin Miller wacko 1%, that you take a look at the congressman's move on this, and you think to yourself, okay, you're going up against Kevin McCarthy, the House whip, who already has 35 deputies, who has quietly been working behind the scenes, was so overconfident that he decided, I'm going to go home to California. And he's an establishment crony. And what does this do? It raises Congressman Labrador's profile, but does it really do anything for us? And is it an opportunistic move? I would say yes. On the other hand, nobody else stepped up. Now, why is it important to you? You're going, Kevin, you, when you have Mike Tracy on or any of these other politicals, Phil Hardy, all you do is, you know, go inside the money ball of politics. This is why the majority whip is important. And the reason is because when it's Boehner and it's Obama and it's Harry Reid, Eric Cantor was the guy that would pull Boehner back from making the crazy, wacko liberal deals. And he would actually give the Tea Party, he would give the social conservatives a hearing. Now, he may have not been the most conservative guy ever, but he represented our interests. McCarthy doesn't. And the issue here, Congressman Labrador stepping up to do this. Now, number one, if he gets 100 votes, he looks like he has some strength. And again, it mentions him for leadership in the possible future, which is great for him. Is it great for us? I don't know. But it's great for him personally and professionally. But if he gets embarrassed, you take a look at the Tea Party and you take a look at this and you're thinking to yourself, well, how realistic was it to throw your chances in there? It's like getting to the big game and then getting stomped on. Hey, we got to the big game. Yeah, but you got stomped on. And then the comments by Congressman Labrador before was, I've beaten the odds, and even Popke on Politics, gone soft on Labrador. Popke on Politics, gone soft on Labrador, where he goes, well, he beat Von Ward and Walter Minnick. There's a difference between a House whip, and I'm probably going too inside baseball for you. But, you know, I feel that I'm compelled to do this at 580KIDO, and the reason why is because everybody else thinks this is a great move. I don't. If you don't have a realistic chance of winning the majority ship,
the House Majority Leader, then why do it unless you're looking for an opportunity to make a name for yourself? And that's really what this is. Of course, no one else will say it. Everybody else will be, you know, running around going, oh, isn't this great? He's standing up for us. Somebody had to do it. Well, no. Sometimes it's better to keep your powder dry. Sometimes it's better just to step down. And sometimes it's better just to work for the folks here in Idaho. And say what you want about Simpson. He's working, is he not? So anyway, your thoughts on the Congressman Labrador Love Fest at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, where you have everybody locally saying, it's a long shot, but he's going to make it. Well, what happens when he doesn't? Oh, we move on to the flower bed changing in Meridian. Well, that's not really news. That's not objectivity. By the way, the Washington Post has a great story on this, on how realistic it is. And, you know, I guess we're desperate for the Statesman to do front page material. It's either, you know, this, that, or the other. Rand Paul was in, and he spoke at the state convention, which turned into, you know, the grassroots versus the establishment people. And this is, I've heard this from like several people, people yelling and screaming at one another. Jeers and cheers. And it's funny because, again, Congressman Labrador, the chairman, saying, I tried to avoid this. Well, you've got to take responsibility for this. But again, everybody gives him a pass. So here you have, apparently now, they tried to remove our friend Barry Peterson. Barry didn't allow that. A lot of people from Ada County were disqualified as far as their credentials, as far as them being delegates, as far as them being able to vote. And because of that, no, the Republicans couldn't agree on a platform. And a lot of Democrats, whether it's here at 580KIDO or somewhere else, are saying to themselves, well, this shows you how disunified the Republican Party is. And Lieutenant Governor Brad Little was up there. The governor wasn't. They say, well, it's the governor's fault. It's the grassroots fault. Well, I think this is what happens when one side fights back. It's kind of like politics in Idaho is kind of like the Star Wars trilogy. You blow up the Death Star, you have the Empire Strikes Back, and then you have the winner eventually, which is the establishment or the grassroots, take your pick, and that hasn't been determined yet. Will it help A.J. Belukov? I don't know. I don't think that he's that much of a credible candidate. Seems like a nice man, has a lot of money. We'd still love to have him on, but if you're not going to talk to the press, what chance do you have against Governor Otter? Think about that. All right, so here we have the death of Casey Kasem. We have your thoughts on Congressman Labrador running for the majority ship and the state of the state GOP, which is, it seems like days of our lives that we've covered from quite some time. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Coming up this hour as well, we'll check in with our Fox News reporters, and we'll take a look at the latest concerning Iraq and America with Jared Halperin. And in the 8 o'clock hour, the national perspective of Bo Bergdahl. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, we'll take a look at Eric Cantor and a few other issues here at 580KIDO. And by the way, is it time for men to wear purses? Are you down with a man purse? Let's get you to work safely and on time.
A man died this weekend after falling into the Boise River while fishing.
The militant group ISIS, now said to be in control of the town of Tal Afar in northern Iraq, close to the border with Syria.
Extremists with automatic weapons descended on the small coastal town. The deputy governor says there were scores of attackers.
Just another manic Monday.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:24, Kevin Miller in the morning. The blame game continues concerning Iraq. Here is President Maliki saying, I was just kidding about America leaving.
Those who have abandoned their positions should not imagine that they have taken refuge in their families' houses or near their mothers. Their fate is that they stand trial according to the law, and they will face severe legal measures.
There you have it. Nouri al-Maliki, the president of Iraq that we put in.
We warn them that if they do not join their units, they will be considered deserters, and they will be liable for harsh punishment, which may extend to the death penalty.
He sounds excited there. He sounds animated. He sounds like, well, a president that might lose his country. What does this say? Have you ever made a bad investment in life? Maybe it was in a person. Maybe it was in an investment. Maybe it was in that old broadcasting stock. Maybe it was in General Motors. Maybe it was, you know what I'm getting at here. You ever make a bad investment and lose a bunch of money and you think to yourself, I'm a big dope. And whether you recover or not, some of us, it was bad career moves. Some of us, it's still bad career moves. Some of us, I mean, really. And so I take a look at Iraq. Hasn't Iraq become just one big bad investment? One big bad investment when you look at just the horrible returns. What is it? 4,500 Americans dead. 4,500 Americans done. Gone. Lost. Never to have the benefit of paying taxes under President Obama. Never having the benefit of seeing their kids go to school. Maybe it's because we're so overwhelmed we don't understand the severity of the loss. But they're done. And then you put in, what is it, $25 billion? $25 billion of the trillions of dollars that we spent was to go to the Iraq military? That as soon as they saw these thugs with guns, ran? And, I mean, now you've got these people with, what is it, billions of dollars that they stole from the Bank of Mosul? And on one hand, you have the Kurds that are running wild, the Turks that are mad. Talk about a bad neighborhood getting worse. Now you have the Iraqis going to the Iranians, the mullahs, home of the former House of Crazy Mahmoud, and bringing in the Iranians with the Quds Squad, or whatever. That's an intimidating name, the Quds Squad. The Quds Squad's coming in, the Quds Squad. And they're going to take down the militants. And then, because the army that we spend money on, that we trained, is so incompetent, they have people in the streets, the Shiites, going, saying that they're going to go after the Sunnis. And really, what does this all come down to? What is the basic fundamental element in life? Whether you like someone or not, it's communication. And I always tell this, much to her chagrin of when we talk about this, Mrs. Miller. I go, the secret to success in life, whether you like to admit this or not, is to over-communicate. Over-communicate. And with the Iraqis, what you have here is a guy named Malachi, the leader who's yelling at people to get back there and defend his fanny, pretty much decided that he wanted his cake and eat it too. So he got rid of the folks called the Sunnis, which there's two houses of Islam. There's the Shiite Muslims and there's the Sunni Muslims. And it all comes down to how you interpret Muhammad and what he did and where he went, I believe. And so what happened here is there was supposed to be a coalition government. And President Obama, I mean it this time, I'm warning you, red line. He's got to bring in the Sunnis, which ran the Iraq for years under Saddam Hussein, persecuting the Shiites. Well, Maliki decided not to do that. Maliki decided that he was going to get rid of the coalition government and do it his way. So the Sunnis had nowhere to go except to attack. And that's what we're seeing right now. Now, if you missed the Sunday shows because you were out fishing or like enjoying Father's Day, or maybe you were at our friend's Ed's 50s Cafe, there was some disturbing messages coming out of the Sunday shows, none more scary than that of the senior senator from South Carolina, whether he's on 580 KIDO or on Meet the Press or Face the Nation, Lindsey Graham.
We need air power immediately to stop the advance toward Baghdad.
Are you ready for air power to take out the militias?
He has to go. There's no way that Maliki can bring this country back together.
There you have it. Maliki has to go. So once again, Iraq, kind of like, we're like Michael Corleone, and they keep pulling us back in. I mean, billions of dollars, trillions of dollars. Isn't it time for those guys to duke it out for themselves? But the danger is relevant. What we're hearing from the same people that brought us the Iraq war, that brought us the Afghanistan war, is that they will be hatching other 9/11 plots here in America. In fact, we had the leader of ISIS under wraps, and we let him go. And when he said it, when he was leaving New York, he goes, I'll be back soon, everybody. And it's not to give a tribute to Casey Kasem. So a few questions for you at 580-5436. I know it's early. But my goodness gracious, you have a great responsibility, to carry the momentum of this show. The host is no LeBron James. I need the cast. I need you. On one hand, we have air power that is not being used. We have Americans being surrounded in Balad. I mean, my goodness gracious, what happens if they get a hold of them? And then we have the situation involving Lindsey Graham and the neocons saying it's time to go back in. Haven't we spent enough money there? You can reach me via Twitter at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller on Facebook, or Kevin at KIDOAM.com. You're listening to 580KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And a big shout out to our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who's blown up the Kevin Miller Facebook with some comments that, that are entertaining for entertainment purposes only. Stay tuned this morning. Kevin Miller reveals whether he is in Casey Kasem's will. Thank you for that, Alan Morton, attorney at law. We go to Jared Halperin from Fox News Radio, live in Washington, Capitol Hill. Jared, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, before we get to U.S. and Iraq, any more movement on the Raul Labrador for majority leader momentum?
Well, he's in the race, so he will be the only person at this point when they have this election on Thursday that will challenge who seems to be the guy, Kevin McCarthy. We'll see how many votes, if they disclose that, Raul Labrador gets. But, I mean, he's a long shot, but I guess people said the same thing about Dave Brat. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, certainly there is some questions within segments of the Republican Party about why they would elevate somebody like Kevin McCarthy when they see the defeat of Eric Cantor in the primary as a sign that people want to shake up leadership. At the same time, I think the House majority still feels that they need some sort of order, and this is sort of how things go. I think the much more competitive race will be that of Majority Whip, which if Kevin McCarthy were to become majority leader, would open up then an opening there. And perhaps that's where you get maybe a different type of person in that position that we have had in years past. But, Raul Labrador's in the race. He's the only other person at this point in that race. And we'll see what kind of support he's able to take up.
Well, we hear from sources that he believes that members have contacted him and say even though they've pledged to the whip that they're going to vote for him. But if that happens, you don't have to be, again, here we go, the House of Cards reference. You don't have to be a fan of Frank Underwood and know what happens if you cross the whip.
Right. I mean, and that's sort of – and that seems to be why – because initially we had a few other folks that certainly were a little bit more well-known and certainly more senior than Raul Labrador in this in this race. You had guys like Pete Sessions and you had guys like Jeb Hensarling. In both cases, we're led – well, the thing with Hensarling and Sessions was they didn't each – because they're both from Texas. They didn't want two Texans sort of splitting the Texas vote. So you had Pete Sessions who – came out on top in the battle of the Texans, but hearing at least from some sources that there were threats made about committee chairmanships and things like that, that it's fine if you run, but you do so at your own peril because you have a lot more to lose than just a majority leader race should it not work out for you.
Right, and the idea that if you seem
that's
to
how, that's how things are in Washington. I mean, that's nothing new. That's not new behavior or new way of doing things. The thing with Raul Labrador is, in many respects, he doesn't have a whole lot to lose, does he? He doesn't have a lot of committee chairmanships. He doesn't have a lot of things that, I guess could be threatened, if you want to use that word, or at least be held against him if you want to go a more diplomatic route. So in many respects, he's a guy that doesn't have a lot to lose. And, if he loses this majority leader race, he's not seen as somebody that was expected to do very well in it anyway. Whereas a guy like Sessions has been in Congress an awfully long time and would sort of have to go back home to his district and explain, his thinking for trying to, why are you unable to win over members of your own party? I don't think that's an explanation Raul Labrador would ever have to offer the fine folks of Idaho, since he's not seen as somebody who probably would win that anyway.
All right, Jared Halperin with us, Fox News Radio, 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. I have to get you in trouble here. Did you watch any of the shows yesterday, any of the big shows, or did you take the day off?
The Sunday shows?
Yes.
I took most of it off. I was at home alone with my one-year-old son.
That was Father's Day, so that's to be expected.
Between the U.S. Open and the World Cup, I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
a lot of other viewing to be done.
I'll tell you that
I didn't watch the highlights, though.
I did this for you, but I was amazed at how well it seemed that ABC owned it by having Martha Raddatz live in Iraq and – It was really Iraq-centered, followed by the Sheikh and everybody else. The U.S.-Iraq is a big conversation going on, not only on the shows, but today on Capitol Hill.
And there's no easy explanation or easy answer for this. I know that there's, you know, in, when these types of crises pop up, oftentimes you get like the usual Republican-Democrat sparring. You don't see that in this case, do you? And I think that's because this is a deeply complicated issue, and it doesn't really go down partisan lines. It goes along philosophical lines in many respects. And there's always been sort of, not always, but within the recent years, sort of a rift between both parties, right, on foreign policy and should the United States be more interventionist, less than interventionist? Should we get involved in the Middle East? Should we not get involved in the Middle East? If we get involved in the Middle East, what does that look like? And you had, in a weird sort of scenario yesterday, you know, Lindsey Graham, who certainly can be described as a hawk, I suppose, on these matters, saying that, you know, maybe we need to open up a dialogue with Iran. We have a shared goal in this instance of not letting Baghdad fall. And this morning, Secretary of State John Kerry, in an interview with Yahoo News, said, yes, we are open to discussions with Iran if they can help end the violence and restore confidence in the Iraqi government.
Yeah, when I heard Graham say that,
when I heard
Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, say that, when he said we might actually have to have them have boots on the ground to protect Baghdad and coordinate with our air power. Wow.
Well, I mean, because Lindsey Graham's smart enough to know that boots on the U.S. boots on the ground is, you know, not going to happen, and it's not going to happen for a host of reasons. You know, most of which is that I just don't think that there's a will for that. In this country, the president ruled it out on Friday, continued to rule it out over the weekend, and I haven't heard many Republicans, even hawks, say that that's something that's in the cards. It just seems unrealistic at this point. So you're right. Now you're left with this odd scenario of should we be working with Iran to at least get Baghdad, Iraq, back in order? And you don't even hear that being suggested now by Republicans, as the administration says, yeah, we're open to it. It's certainly, these types of situations when you have no easy answers sometimes brings about strange bedfellows in Washington.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the U.S. carrier going in, the H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Should we expect some airstrikes this week? Is that being talked about?
I don't know what to expect. I mean, we're told that was moved there simply to give the president additional options, additional flexibility. There are some other ships there as well. Also, those ships can be used to help evacuations. We did have to evacuate some folks, although not all, from the embassy. Should there be a more widespread sort of urgent evacuation of Americans, it's not uncommon to sometimes utilize those ships as well. So I don't want to read, you know, a whole lot into it. I don't know what the thinking is. You know, one thing that Secretary Kerry said this morning as well is that airstrikes could be done through drones. So now you're not even talking about having to put, you know, airmen in harm's way necessarily, but rather unmanned armed drones that could perhaps target some of these insurgent sites.
Boy, a little different for us. Usually the summer we're just kind of chilling out here, but business is picking up.
It's going to be a long summer here in Washington, perhaps.
Well, Jared, hopefully you'll get paid by the story.
We'll see. I'll have you negotiate my next contract.
I will, sir. You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Our great friend Jared Halpern joining us. 580KIDO with the latest in Washington, and it'll be fascinating to see what happens this week with Congressman Labrador and the big vote for Majority Leader. Do you believe this is a good thing? 580-5436. 580KIDO, we are chasing our great friend Mark Johnson. He is in San Antonio, right outside Fort Sam Houston, covering not the Spurs and the Heat, but covering the Bo Bergdahl situation. Big story in the paper today, Bergdahl was held in Pakistan. And you take a look at Sergeant Bergdahl, and you take a look at everything else, and really what is the major story? The Daily Beast over the weekend releasing stories that had letters from Bo Bergdahl, I believe, to his parents. And in it, he said, give me the benefit of the doubt, paraphrasing now, give me the benefit of the doubt when it comes to condemning me. And we will see how that happens. Of course, that hasn't happened nationally, where you have people ripping Sergeant Bergdahl. Look, we're all in America. It's about freedom of expression. Some of us believe in due process. Others, you know, rightfully, call his actions into question. We will see how that plays out. Who would have ever thought that Sergeant Bergdahl, agree with him or not, would be a propaganda piece, not just for the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, but for the administration?
But then he walked away in the middle of Afghanistan on the farthest front lines you could be on,
to go seek out the Taliban.
You feel that was an affront to you, that to say that his service was with honor and distinction?
Saying that that's honorable, saying that walking away, and whatever his agenda was in trying to connect with the Taliban, explain to me how that's honorable.
By the way, and those are folks from Bo's unit, Bo never said that. That was Susan Rice, who wishes probably along with the Benghazi talking points, she could take those words back as well. It is 648, 54 degrees. Kay Milley in the morning. Coming up next, we're going to talk about men and purses. Is this a sign of the times? And you're going to say, Kevin, men don't wear purses. Silly Kevin Miller. Well, there was a time when men didn't have earrings, right? Tell that to Liberal Steve. All right, 648. Time to get you to work.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Success doesn't happen in a vacuum. You're only as good as the people you work with and the people you work for. I've been lucky. I've worked for and with the very best.
And keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching for the stars, or like our friend Alan Morton, attorney at law, says to me on the Facebook, keep your feet on the ground and your finger on the trigger. Thank you for that, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. New book coming out talking about Jay Leno's new secrets. No, not that type of secrets, but the secrets of The Tonight Show. Apparently, Christian Bale was a pain, Jesse Jackson had stage fright, and Quentin Tarantino had too much to drink at something called the J-Bar, which was a place where you got some drinks to kind of loosen up before you let it all hang out on The Tonight Show. Looks like a pretty fascinating book. Also over the weekend, Mitt Romney returned and said he's really serious now. He's not running for president, but had this to say concerning Iraq.
Appropriately, and at the extraordinary time that was presented a couple of years ago in Syria, and also his failure to achieve a status of forces agreement so that we could have an ongoing presence in Iraq. The bad things happen as a result of inaction. Consequences have obviously been
very
severe.
There you have it. Bad things happen because of inaction. And we're seeing that again and again and again. Mitt Romney on Meet the Press. Okay, so yesterday I'm out and about at a supermarket of your choice, and I happen to be getting some great high-fiber vegetables, which everybody should have some, along with some delicious potato chips. You could tell I really live an exciting life here when I'm not on at 580KIDO. And I'm sitting there. And a guy walks past me, and I had to do a double take. He had a man purse. Now, you remember Jerry Seinfeld. You remember the Seinfeld show. Remember when Jerry had the purse, and he says, no, it's my mail information bag. And this guy had and people say, oh, Kevin, that's for a tablet, that's for a computer. No, it was kind of like a small little soft suitcase. And I'm going, And take a look at the phones are bigger. The wallets are bigger. Everything is bigger. You only have so many pockets unless you're wearing cargo pants. Maybe I'm missing something by not seeing the beauty of a man purse. And this guy was, you know, he was secure in his manhood. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, what's next? First, we lost the battle with the earrings, and it was okay for men to have earrings on one ear. Now both ears. Now, you know, multiple piercings. That's not supposed to mean anything. And then you have the piercing, the tattoos, which are incredibly painful from what I hear. And now the man purse. And I'm thinking to myself at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, what would cause anybody who eats the red meat, who, you know, maybe has a few, to carry a man purse? And whether or not this will catch on. And as I said before, oh, it'll never happen. Of course, we all said the same thing in the late 70s, early 80s about earrings in men. And, you know, do we really have to go there? And I'm thinking to myself, no, I think as long as you have your man card, you really don't need a man purse. Well, Kevin, you know, I carry a bunch of stuff. Well, that's why they have suitcases or briefcases. That's what you carry. You don't carry a purse. A purse is for the young ladies. A purse is for the females. I mean, what's the difference now? You have, you know, pretty soon you're going to have these restrooms where it's going to be optional to have urinals. You know, first it's the earrings, then it's the next thing that goes is your accessories, and then the urinal. The urinal will be a thing of the past. Now, if this is not exciting and compelling and something that you didn't need to know in the morning, then I don't know what is. But think about it. You heard it here first. You know, that man purse comes in, the urinals are next. 6:58, time to get you to... Yeah, I do believe that. Let's get you to work. You know, we talk about celebrities and... Oh, boy. Thank you very much, Jim, for this one. You know, Kevin, they carry guns in those purses. Well, thank you very much for that, Jim. You know, it's funny, looking over some of this, the crazy, wacky world of celebrities, and they always go, we're just like us. Come on. Did you know for her appearance, the goofy Jessica Simpson demanded that the Tonight Show cover her hair and makeup? Okay, what is that? $10? $20? $18,000? $18,000 for Jessica Simpson? Leno said no. Anyway, coming up next, Alma the anti-fracker. We will debate fracking in Idaho, fuel prices, and the future. Whew, got through that F-series. Kevin Miller, good morning. Serving Emmett.